And I want to encourage you this morning, church, to grab your Bibles as well. Turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. We'll begin today walking through the book of Hebrews this year. And I hope you picked up this box of cards, these memory cards, and just flip through those throughout the week and hide God's Word in your heart. Meditate on the truths that we speak of in the sermons on Sunday morning and think and contemplate God's amazing truth. And you can pick one of those up if you didn't get one there at the back as you exit today from the worship service. But I want everyone to hide God's Word in their heart. It's so important that we walk by faith, and that faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And the amazing thing is, our God is a God who speaks. He has spoken many times in many different ways, and He speaks, of course, with general revelation. As you and I got up, the world, the creation, it was speaking to us. It's so beautiful. I don't know about you, but just seeing the serenity of snow and the beauty that it brings, anything that's ugly can just be covered up and made pure and white. It's beautiful. I love to see it. And creation is speaking to us everywhere that the sun runs its course. Everyone is hearing God speak in nature. Whether they acknowledge that or not, it's another story. But the reality is God is speaking. And He's not only speaking in that general way all throughout Revelation, He also speaks in some specific ways. And He speaks, and we'll see about that today here in Hebrews chapter 1. And the question is always, we know God speaks. The question is, am I hearing Him? Am I listening to Him? Am I inclining my heart to hear what He has to say? Because everyone, every one of us has to make a decision when God speaks. You have to choose whether you believe what He said is true. You have to choose whether you believe this is a proposition of truth, something that you can, that's validated and that you can then believe in. And you have to decide whether you will do what He says to do. If you believe He's spoken, our God, listen, we don't worship idols that we see. Our God is not seen. Our God is heard. And the question is am I listening, inclining my ear to hear what He has to say? And hearing what He has to say and believing in Him is exercising faith. And we all need a faith that's going to endure. There's going to be trials. There's going to be challenges in life, circumstances that you and I have no control over. And in the midst of those, you and I have to decide whether I'm going to take God at His word, whether I'm going to believe what He has said, whether I'm going to believe His promises and all of His precepts and apply them. We come to hear God speak in a time corporately where we open the word and God speaks to us. When we're opening Hebrews, we're opening an old sermon, actually. An exhortation, as it says over in chapter 13, an exhortation to the Hebrews when they would gather, perhaps Christian believers, Christian Jews that would believe in Christ, and a message was presented to them and was proclaimed to them. I believe it was Paul's word to those Jews who knew the Old Testament. And he had a word for them. And when you went to worship in the synagogue, when those days you went, and as part of the service, someone would grab a scroll. They would grab a scroll, and they would open that scroll, and they would begin to read through a portion of that scroll. And as they read some portion of the Old Testament for everyone to hear, then someone would give up and give an exhortation. They would preach. They would share a word, and they would share an understanding of the passage that was just read. You see a picture of that even in Luke's gospel when Jesus entered the synagogue and they read the scroll, and he read from the passage of Isaiah and how the word was fulfilled in him, that the good news had come to the lame and to the poor and to those who were brokenhearted. And he said, this day the word is fulfilled in your midst. And everybody's like, what do you mean this word is fulfilled in our midst? That's what happened. Someone would read from the scriptures and then they would proclaim them. They would explain them. You could take any passage of the Old Testament. It's divided usually into three sections, three major components. The Tanakh, which is the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. The Torah is the law. That's what Moses gave us, those first five books of the Pentateuch, as it's called. Those first five books where we get the law. But here's the amazing thing. Do you want to hear the law, or wouldn't it be amazing to hear the lawgiver himself? Think about that for a moment. You could take from the Nevi'im, that's the prophets. Those are all those who exhorted God's people, reminded them, listen, God has made a covenant with you. You're his people, and there's a way that you and I should live if we're the people of God. But it would be amazing to hear a prophet speak, but not just the messenger that brings the word. What if we heard the one who is actually the message himself, embodying that message? That'd be pretty amazing. You could also take and pull out the Ketuvim, the writings. Those are all the wisdom literature, the poetry, all the historical works. And it would be amazing to hear some of the wisdom of Solomon and all the wise men that wrote for us there. But someone greater than Solomon has come. Someone greater than Solomon's wisdom, one who is the wisdom of God. He's come and spoken to us. And so imagine for a moment you've heard a portion of Scripture, and then in the sermon someone says, there's something better than just what we've heard. Not just the lawgiver, not just the messenger, the message itself, not just the wisdom of a wise man, but wisdom personified has come to us and brought a word to us. The question is, will I receive and believe that word? One supreme revelation from God. One supreme final word from God. Now, here's the danger as you walk through the book of Hebrews. It's the danger not only in that day, it's the danger today. The question always is, what do you do with the message from God, with the word of God? Remember, Jesus taught one parable. It's found in all four Gospels. Listen, it's the most important parable. And you know what that one is? In fact, if you don't believe this parable, if you don't believe this teaching, you won't understand any of the other teachings. You know what that parable is? The parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow seed. Now, we should understand that up here in North Idaho, right? A farmer went out and he threw seed. And as he threw seed, it fell on all different types of soil. And four particular soil types are mentioned there. But as that seed fell, some fell on hard soil, and the birds swooped down and took those seeds away, and they didn't have any effect on the soil. Some fell on thorny soil. Some fell on shallow soil with rocks in it, and some fell on good soil. And the picture there in the parable is, listen, the problem is never with the seed. The issue is always the soil. And will it hear and receive the seed, the word from God? You see, God speaks this morning. Your heart, my heart. Those watching online, those listening on the radio, God is speaking to us. And is my heart ready to hear what he has to say? If God is speaking, we better listen. Amen. Well, what is he saying to us? What is he revealing to us about himself? What is he revealing to us about ourselves this morning? Because it's only when we look at God and we see him in his full glory that you and I will understand who we truly are, since we're made in his image, since he wants to remake us into the image of his son. I need to hear God speak. I need to hear what he has to say. I need to hear what he has to reveal about himself so I'll know who I am and how I'm to live. Now, here's the danger. Again, the soil is the issue. And in the book of Hebrews, five times, in fact, I want to encourage you, if you didn't, on the way in, I'll have these every week out on the foyer table there and over here by the TV out here in the welcome area. But it's just a listening guide there that you can take and follow along with what I'm going to preach on. But also, there's also on the flip side, some questions to consider for the week, some things that we can consider. This week, I've highlighted five passages in the book of Hebrews, which we're going to see as we go through this, which have to do with the word of God and the exhortation that's being given. And the question is whether we unite faith to what we hear or don't. You see, there's a previous generation. They're written all throughout the Old Testament. Individuals who heard God speak and didn't obey what he said. Individuals who heard what God said to do and chose not to believe, not to go forward in faith. And as the writer, Paul writes in Hebrews, he's exhorting you, he's exhorting me, listen, to unite faith to the word that we hear from God, lest we drift by, kind of like you're on a river in a canoe, and you're just relaxing and just drifting down the stream. That can happen in life. You and I can just drift along and casually omit, miss, and fail to listen and fail to hear and heed and hold on to what God says and apply it in our life. If we're not careful, that'll cause us to doubt what God says, to question it, and even become dull to what God says, because he speaks, and when we don't listen and hear him and heed him, our heart actually becomes hard, dull to the word. The sad thing is it can lead to us despising what God says, and even then perhaps defying it. Not living in obedience, but in rebellion to what God says. Remember, this is always what the devil will do. He will challenge you and challenge me to question what God says. Did God really say that? Did he really say that? That's what happened in the garden. And he continues to do that to us today. But if God has spoken, praise God, he has. And if he has given us one final culminating word, one word of fullness of all the other words, we better listen to it, amen? And that's what is highlighted right here at the beginning of this sermon. God has spoken. There's no need for an introduction of the author. There's no need for an introduction of the audience. This is, listen, a message to God's people. It's a message for us to hear. And the message is not about the author of this book. It's a message about the messenger, listen, that is the message himself, Jesus. And so the question this morning is, am I ready to hear what God has to say to me? See, what matters is your disposition, my disposition to God's word. Do I have a heart ready to hear? Do you know what a wise heart is over in the Old Testament? When you read there in 1 Kings chapter 3 about Solomon having a wise heart, listen, is a hearing heart. A heart that's ready to hear. Not my ears, listen, right here. Am I ready to internalize what God says, to chisel it, listen, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of my heart? Because this word can change us. It can change your life and my life this morning if we will but hear what he has to say. I want to invite you to stand with me and honor the word of the Lord, because God has an exhortation for us this morning. He speaks to us. We have many words, but we're going to read this section right here in chapter 1. Just the first three verses to get us into this epistle for this year. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, notice, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Father, may we understand today why we should listen to this word, why we should hear this word, why we should heed this word, why we should hold on to this word. This word changes my life. This word changes our lives. This word can change anyone's life out there if they will just have a heart ready to hear and believe. So Lord, give us faith. Birth it in our hearts. Help us to, even in our unbelief, to choose to believe that when you speak, we should listen and we should obey and experience all the blessings that you have for us. We ask now, speak to us, word of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Paul, I believe, is preaching, and he's telling us that Jesus is the supreme spokesman of God. You'll notice right there in verse 1 and verse 2, I've circled this in my Bible. Now, if you have a pen, I want to encourage you to circle and highlight a couple things. There it says in verse 1 that God, in the past, in various times, and in various ways, he spoke. I circled that in my Bible, because down in verse 2, he's going to say he has spoken to us in a different way. God is spoken in the past. You and I can look in the Old Testament. Our God is a God who speaks. Praise the Lord. Francis Schaeffer said it this way: God is there and he is not silent. He's speaking. Are you listening? Are you listening this morning? Listen, is my ear inclined? Am I ready to hear? Listen, this is the amazing thing. The Spirit of God who inspired this book inspired men to write this down and made sure that it was inerrant. That same Spirit, listen, is available to us to illumine our hearts and minds and understand what was written down. So no one can claim, oh, I just can't understand it. God is speaking, and He's provided His Spirit, and He's wooing us to hear and understand what He's saying so that we'll choose to obey it and apply it in our lives. God spoke in the past when He revealed Himself. You go over to the Old Testament, any passage of the law, the prophets, the history books, or the poetry, all those ways, at many different times, at various times, and in various ways, He spoke in the past. You can listen, you and I can assuredly take any time, open up the Old Testament, and that is the Word of God spoken. It is the Word that frankly is alive. And when you look over there in the Old Testament, there was times that He gave visions to individuals. There were times that He gave dreams to individuals. There were times when his little finger wrote, God's finger, mighty finger actually, wrote on the wall for the attention of a pagan king. There were times, listen, that He wrote on tablets. Hey, He even spoke through a donkey. Figure that one out, right? Amazing. He spoke in a variety of ways through all of the prophets. God had a word for His people. God has a word for mankind. Do you realize God, when He made us in His image, He made us for relationship. And the way we relate to people is through communication. God wants to speak to us, and He accommodates Himself. He doesn't owe it to us, but He does that because He wants to have a relationship with those made in His image. And when He revealed Himself, one of the things He revealed over in the Old Testament is that this is My covenant people. I want to be your God, and you be My people, and I'm going to make a provision for that so that you can be that. And as His covenant people, He said, I've got some promises for you. I've got some promises that I'm pledging Myself to you. And even when you won't be faithful, I always will be faithful. What an amazing God that He would promise those things. He says, I've also got some precepts, some ways for you to live by, some things that I'm asking you to do because you're My people and you're distinct from the world around you because of the way you live and the things that you do. And so you're distinguished as the people of God. And I've got a history, a story that I'm writing all the way from the law, the first five books, all the way to Malachi, the final prophet, the final word from God. And that message is a sacred history that God is a God of redemption, and He's bringing a promised seed that's going to crush the serpent's head. And you see all the pictures historically of the Passover and the Exodus and the conquering of the promised land and even moments when God's people were disobedient and yet He remained faithful to them and wooed them with love to be His people. God spoken in all these ways, revealing just what type of God He is, what He is like. And in all these variety at different times in a variety of ways, God spoke. But He's spoken now by a supreme or a better word. He has spoken to us. He spoke then in a variety of ways. No message was complete in and of itself. They were all part of a puzzle. You might put them together. And the picture you would get when you put all those puzzle pieces together, wow, there's Jesus. That's Him. That's why He would say, listen, diligently do you search the Scriptures, and yet these things point to Me. All the parts, when you put them together as a whole, the whole picture is Almighty God revealed in Christ. And so when God wanted to speak, listen, He spoke in those variety of ways, but then He spoke one last word in Jesus. He has spoken to us by His Son. Stop and think about this. We think communications is really important. We think communication is so important that we now carry it with us wherever we go so that we can communicate with people. It can be through 140 characters of a tweet or a text, right? It can be through a phone call. And we have all these apparatuses and technological means by which we can communicate. And some of those, frankly, aren't that personal, are they? And I can misunderstand what is communicated and sometimes when someone just sends me just three letters, right? We can even communicate with minimal letters now. It's amazing. But when God wanted to communicate to us, He did it face to face. He, in this supreme better word, he came in Christ. The fullness of God dwelt in him. And he came and he spoke to us. It's as John would say over in that important Christological passage in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. God spoke in the past to the fathers, but this author is writing, Paul saying, listen, no, he came and spoke to us. They wrote down what God had said. In fact, Paul would say over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that everything they wrote wasn't for them. It was actually for us to instruct us and teach us and prepare us for this final word that came. And this final word that came from Jesus. He is the supreme message from God. Why? Because he's not just a spokesman. He's the message itself, himself. He embodies everything that the prophets were pointing to. Stop and think about this for a moment. Over in Deuteronomy 18, Moses, the great prophet of God, the one who brought the law, very revered by God's people, even he wrote over there in Deuteronomy 18 that, listen, there's coming a prophet after me. And what he speaks is truth, because he is truth. And the word from Moses there was, hear ye him. Whatever he says, you better do. You see why? Why? Because Jesus isn't, he's the lawgiver. He's the one that we have to listen to. He's the one that we have to understand and obey. He's the one that God has spoken to us. In fact, what's amazing is, you know, when you see all that Old Testament, all that's written there, Jesus didn't come to abolish that. He said, I came to fulfill it. All those things pointed to him. That's why, listen, in your walk of faith, if you say, I really wish I could hear God speak and know what he's saying to me, the best thing you and I can do is look at Jesus. Because he is the supreme revelation of God. He has spoken to us and revealed. He said, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. Hey, all the things, all the scriptures that you do diligently search, they're all pointing at me. By the way, when you're studying your Old Testament, one of the best things you and I can do is look at those things and say, I wonder how this points to Jesus. In fact, you know what's fascinating? Sometimes I know at the beginning of the new year, we'll try and we'll say, I'm going to read through the Bible. And a lot of times we'll get out and we'll have a great start through the book of Genesis. And then we'll get in the book of Exodus and man, we get bogged down, right? Because you got this tabernacle and you got this, you know, build it by 6 cubits and 14 cubits and 3, you know, all and build, hammered gold and finely woven linen. I mean, all those things. And you're like, all these details. And as you read that, you say, well, why are they built? And then you ask yourself this question, but why are they building it this way? Well, what is it teaching us about the nature of God? And where's the fulfillment of all this? And how does this point to Christ? Because that's what the author of Hebrews is going to do. We're going to see that all those things that were written, spoken by the past to the fathers, by the prophets, Jesus is the fulfillment of all of them. And better than all of them. So we want to look to him. We want to hear from him. And when God wanted to speak to us, he chose to do it in the person of Christ. In fact, that's what he says. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Notice this. Whom he has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. You see, Jesus isn't just a supreme spokesman. He's the one that has the supreme privilege. He is the heir of all things. He is the one that's been appointed by God for this role. Among the Trinity, this was how they understood they would work redemption. When they created all things, they had a plan. Even before they created it, they were going to have to redeem it. Our God knew everything from the beginning to the end. Amen? That's why Jesus is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They knew. And Jesus, listen, is the one that was appointed as heir of all things. All things that were going to be made were going to be his. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and suffered the shame because all of it belongs to him. It's his. By the way, he made it. He redeemed it. And one day he's coming to reign over it. He is the appointed heir of God. This means, listen, when you read in the Old Testament, what you'll find there is you'll find an heir to a kingdom. A kingdom, listen, not of this world. A kingdom greater than this world. And when you go and you read and you wrestle with these thoughts about a kingdom and a king who's going to reign and rule you, you look and God told his people over in the book of Exodus, listen, you're going to be a kingdom of priests to me. You're going to be my holy nation, my peculiar people. In fact, he had promised this to Abraham in Genesis 15 and Genesis 17 as well. Listen, kings are going to come from you. And he was really highlighting one particular king ultimately that would come. He had to give that promise even there to Israel, Jacob, whose name was changed. Over in Genesis 49, he said, listen, a scepter is not going to depart from one of your sons, the tribe of Judah. He's going to come, and the appointed heir is going to reign. In fact, he said it to David when he told David, right, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 14, when the prophet spoke, and this word came to David. And here's what he said. Listen, one of your sons is going to reign forever, eternally. One that will always do what is right and never sin or fail in any way. He said this over in a song that David wrote in Psalm 2 when David said, listen, here's the word from God to everyone who thinks about shaking their fist at him. You better do homage to the Son. You better kiss the King while there's time. You better bend the knee and acknowledge, yeah, you want to tear the chains from him, tear the fetters from him. We want to be enchained to him and what he has to say. That's a dangerous position to be in. These chains, when God speaks, they're not chains to enslave us. God speaks, listen, to tell us what is good for our lives and what to protect us from in our lives so that we don't experience evil and bad. He speaks this way not to restrict us, but to actually free us. Jesus himself said what? You shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. We need to hear him. This is the supreme heir, the promised one who is going to come. All the pictures, this word from God is the one who has the privilege of God. He is the appointed one. Well, we better listen to him and not shake our fist at him. We need to understand what he says. And why is he the supreme one that we should listen to, the one of privilege? Well, this is what he highlights. Now, notice all these things. He just runs through about five or six different things about who Jesus is and why this morning you and I should listen to what he has to say. Now think about this just for a moment as we walk through these things that he highlights. Notice this. He is the one who is the heir, in verse 2, of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. He's going to talk about Jesus' supreme power in all things that he has done. Notice this. Jesus is the one who made everything. Now listen, if he made everything, do you know what you do when you buy a new toy or you get a new car or you have a new gizmo or gadget, right? What do? You should read the instruction manual. We don't always do that, do we? No, let's be honest. No, not until it breaks. And then we go, what did I do wrong, right? Oh, I meant to oil that. I forgot to oil that, right? But we should read the instruction manual before we put it into operation. Now, the one who made all things, created everything around us, has spoken about how all those things should work right here in this book. He's the creator. Everything, listen, that not only you see, but you yourself. Listen, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm telling you, anytime you hold a precious baby, right? Fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a precious gift. Now, the operating manual for that precious little gift is right here in this book. And for you and me, I need to hear what God has to say. If I'm going to operate life, if I'm going to go through life and enjoy all what I was built for, what I was designed for, how to function, just like any gadget, you're more than a gadget. You're made in the image of God. You're made for his glory. Not just to radiate or reflect that glory in heaven, but to do it right now. As salt and light, as his people, we're to reflect that glory. I need to listen to the one, listen, who has the power to create all things. Why? Because I don't know about you, but the things I've made are a mess. It's called sin, right? I have sinned. I haven't always gone by the manual. I haven't always listened to what God said. Here's the amazing thing. He can recreate. Woo! Praise God. There's hope this morning, no matter how big a mess we've made in our sin and our rebellion against God. God, if we'll surrender to Him, God can recreate. He can work those powerful hands and begin to work things together for good. That's why when you and I repent and place our faith and trust in Christ and put our faith in His sacrifice for us, the Bible says that we become new creations. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Wouldn't you want to experience that? I would. Well, the key is listening, hearing what God says in Christ. Listening to what this word says about Him. And when I see Him, it's like a mirror. I see myself. I know then who I am. And Jesus has all that power because He made it all. By the way, not only did He make it all, He has the power to hold it all together. He's the sustainer of it all. He upholds all things. This one who made it all sustains it all. He's the brightness of His glory, verse 3, the express image of His person. You see, in the Old Testament, when again, you couldn't see God. He dwelt in this unapproachable light, this glorious Shekinah glory. You couldn't just rush in and introduce yourself and say, "Hi, God." No. Everybody didn't run to Him. What did they do? They actually stepped back, right? In fear, in reverence, because of this glory cloud. And He had a spokesman, and people were like, "Moses, could you go find out what He wants to tell us?" And Moses would go into the... He had to... Remember, his face radiated because of that glorious presence. So much so, they said, "Could you cover your face when you come back? You're glowing." Listen, Jesus is that Shekinah glory, that radiance of the Father. Why? Because He's God. He's fully God. He is the exact representation of Him, as it says here, the express image of Him. He is, in the Greek, the idea is the character of God, the stamp, the exact reproduction. If you want to see the Father, you look at the Son. And that's exactly, precisely what Jesus said to us. Now, all the miracles that you witness when Jesus, when you and I read about it, they witnessed the power of God at work. They saw that power. They saw the power, not only creating all things, but then how He worked in His creation and the amazing things that He did. Now, He upholds all these things by the word of His power. In other words, right now, Jesus at any moment could speak, and that'd be it, y'all. And He can do that. He has the power and the prerogative, right? Because He is the person of privilege, and He is the one that's in that position as an heir. He can do that at any moment. And there's coming a time when, praise God, He will make all things new. He's promised that, and I'm looking forward to that day, amen? But right now, I need to hear what He has to say, this word from God, this word that holds all things. But He doesn't just hold all things together. Notice this also. When He by Himself purged our sins. He's not just the Shekinah glory of God. That glory, listen, John would say, that word became flesh and we beheld the glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father. He came and He made the Father known to us. But what He made known to us is that we are sinners and He needed to die for us. And so He went to a cross to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin and for the sins of the whole world. He came to be that propitiation for our sins and to purge our sins, to satisfy the wrath of God that we deserve. He took it for us. That's why we gather and we worship Him on Sunday. That's why we celebrate that, listen, He died, He was buried, and praise God, He rose again. And He gives us a living hope because of that, because of His atoning sacrifice. Over in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, when we get there, we'll see that Jesus, when He cleanses us, praise the Lord this morning, He cleanses us from all of our sins. Praise God. You and I don't have to earn it, work for it, do something. No, He is the only one that makes us acceptable to the Father. And He completed everything that was necessary. One sacrifice for all time. You see, when you look at the Old Testament, when you study Exodus and you study Leviticus and you see the priesthood that is there and the sacrifices that they offer, time and again, people had to come back and come back and come back, come back to present their sacrifices. Jesus took care of it all at one time. Praise the Lord this morning. And he now is not only the one who has purged our sins, but now he has sat down, notice this, at the right hand of the Father, of the majesty on high, which means, listen, he is in the position of privilege there at the right hand as the sovereign God. Now praise the Lord, he's there. And as he's there, you know what he's doing? He intercedes for you and for me. As his people, that's the promise of 1 John chapter 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he's there interceding for us. Why wouldn't I want to hear what he has to say? Why wouldn't I want to apply what he has to say in my life? He's in the position of privilege, the position of power. He has sat down. His work is finished. He's at the right hand. That means privilege. He's not here on earth. Praise God, he's up there in heaven. He's in the true tabernacle, the presence of God where worship takes place. And nothing has to be offered as a sacrifice there because he's already offered it. He's offered the blood, as it'll say in Hebrews, of an eternal covenant. And now he mediates a better covenant for you and me. A covenant people of God. We have one who has promised himself in word who he is. And he is faithful and true to that word. Now, if this is God's final word to us, I know there's some who say, man, if I had just seen Jesus, I would believe. If I had just seen, I don't know, him doing some of those miraculous things like walking on water. Maybe if I had just seen him, I don't know, raise a lame man up that couldn't walk. Maybe if I had just seen him, you know, give sight to the blind, or maybe seen him feed 5,000 or 20,000 perhaps on that mountain that day. Maybe if I'd seen him walk on water, maybe if I'd seen him raise Lazarus from the dead, then I would believe because I seen him. And you know the sad thing is, that's not necessarily the case, because there were people there that saw him. There were people that saw all those miraculous things happen, and they didn't believe. But here's the amazing thing. Faith doesn't come by seeing. We learned this last week. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I hear this message of eyewitness, those who saw him and wrote this down, inspired by the Spirit of God. And the question this morning is if the Spirit of God has illumined my mind to believe what I have heard about the supremacy of Jesus as God's better word for you and for me. Because you see, I don't have to see those things. It's right here in this book. This book's going to tell us over in chapter 4, it's alive. It's living. Stop and think for a moment. An eternal God speaks. And if an eternal God speaks, then that word is an eternal word that's relevant for every time period. It's relevant not just when he spoke it over in, I don't know, in the book of Judges. It's relevant today. It's not just relevant when Isaiah spoke that word to the northern kingdom or to the southern kingdom. It's relevant today. It's not just relevant when the prophet spoke it, or when Paul wrote it to Corinthians. This word is alive. And the question is, am I ready to hear what God is saying? Because if you want to have your life radically changed, you have to hear, heed, and hold on to this word.